Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Void AMA, hosted by Atlo. Let's take a listen.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing?
Going.
Good. Coming through loud and clear here.
Awesome.
How am I sounding?
Yeah. Nice and clear on my end.
Any other accounts that we need to add as speakers, or are we all good? Hey, Terra Spaces is here doing the recording.
As far as I know, it's just me on this end.
It's been a long day. All right, let's give it a minute or two so we can have a few more people join us. You may notice, guys, we've got the categories set as Star Wars, Star Trek, and SpaceX. We thought the might be a nice way to catch a few new category listeners and completely confuse them. So if you're here for one of those categories, welcome. You're in for a surprise.
I mean, we do have a bit of a space theme going on, so
it felt appropriate. It felt like the right thing to do.
All right, so the format for this is going to be pretty laid back. I think anyone who is in the Atlo community is probably aware of Void. But we're going to do this so that the guys who aren't as up to speed on who they are and what this protocol is all about can have something chilled and relaxing to listen to while they figure out more about what Void offers and brings to the table. So it's going to be a nice, relaxing conversation. I think we'll try and meander through what the protocol is all about, where it comes from, how the token fits into the picture. And then at the end, we can let people ask questions directly, if that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Right, epic. Well, let's crack on then. I think, as I said, the goal is pretty simple. Let's talk about Void, what it does, why it needs to exist, and how it works. We're doing this because Void is going to be submitting a proposal to the Atlo community shortly. We're super excited about that. They were one of the very first protocols to be discussed when we started off everything in way, way, way back in November last year. And I think let's let the team or BitSquid here introduce himself, the team, and kick off with what Void does, why it needs to exist, and how it works. That's what we're going to go with. Let's start with the origin story.
Awesome.
Where did the motivation to build Void come from?
Yeah, of course. So I'm BitSquid. Studied previously computer science, but really found a keen interest in like the cryptocurrency space and DeFi, and even got swept up in a little bit of NFTs, but art is not my strong point. So happy to have found something that I'm a lot more sort of competent at. So I guess it all kind of started with the realization of how big UST could be and what Terra was working towards. Initially, when I was first watching on, like, it was like before there was even Anchor, and Mirror had only just come out. So it was kind of all very new. But then when the realization was there that, you know, they actually are building this massive platform centered around a decentralized stablecoin, one in which, you know, you can build dApps and all sorts of fancy things on top of, it just seemed like a no-brainer that a decentralized stablecoin needed a native privacy solution. In our minds, having privacy sort of goes hand in hand with decentralization. It's a necessary component for the system to essentially work at its fullest and its finest for all the users. So once we realized that that was kind of inevitable, the growth of UST, it just seemed like what we had to do. We had to try to build what we could to offer a privacy solution. I'll be honest, at first we looked at it all pretty much using Tornado Cash as a bit of a guideline, and we're like, sweet, this is an easy idea. We're going to nail this. And in time, you know, we've found quite a few different hurdles in the track. It's really not as simple as we once first hypothesized. So we spent a lot of time, you know, working on the technicalities of the project, which in our mind, a lot of these things are absolutely necessary for it to work, like the ZK snarks. So they were fun little challenges to sort of get over. But we're really lucky, like our lead dev, who we found in the first couple of weeks of the idea formulation, has put so much into it, has pretty much become a cryptographic expert through necessity, and really helped us along in the progress. Yeah, so that's essentially what brought the idea about and why we sort of started building it. What was the other points there I was addressing?
I think you covered it pretty well. The context of what motivated you guys to come together and do this, it almost sounds as though it felt like it was inevitable, right? Like the way you put it was the moment you saw Anchor and Mirror, you kind of felt like this needed to exist and went from there. Yeah.
100%. I mean, Anchor was another big driving point. Like, obviously, platforms like this exist, but instantly we saw that there's actually a huge opportunity to utilize people's funds while they're within the pools in respect, like Anchor Earn, which is crazy for UST to be able to offer such a nice rate.
And it sounds so as I understand it, the team kind of formed along the way. It wasn't a group of you right from the start who came up with this and decided to dive in. You've kind of collected people along the road, so to speak.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we kind of put together like our basis of the idea, essentially everything that we were going to sort of use inspiration from Tornado Cash, but then everything that we could sort of differentiate onto the Terra platform itself. So after that, yeah, we started hiring and found a lead dev who really sort of took the reins, and yeah, we've just been expanding since.
So I think an easy step from here is to dive right into the actual functionality of Void. Like, you've touched on privacy and confidentiality. Like, what does Void do? Like, if you have to sum it up.
Yeah. So essentially, it is a series of smart contracts. Users will be able to deposit set amounts. I think initially we proposed like for UST, 100, 1,000, and 10,000 UST, possibly the 100,000 as well. Have set deposits into these pools. The deposit itself is secured using ZK snarks, which essentially will give out a cryptographic phrase. The user then essentially waits some time for more deposits, more withdrawals to pass through after your deposit. And then when the user's ready, can nominate a new wallet. And this new wallet can be completely unfunded with no activity ever before inside of it. And then by using that phrase that was given at the start, can just withdraw the funds that was previously deposited into a brand new wallet. So essentially, it breaks all the on-chain activity between the two wallets, leaving the new wallet completely anonymous.
So if I were to sum it up, it's that Void allows a user to move UST from one wallet to another with no discernible connection between the two. Is that fair?
Yep, that's it.
All right. So I think we've talked about privacy and we've talked about functionality. And I think the obvious question then is like, why would someone want to do this? And you guys have a great medium where you often talk about privacy. And I mean, there's an article there talking about Zuckerberg talking about privacy not being a social norm. Like, what is the... And we've chatted about it often enough in our conversations, but I think it's good for anyone listening to this to understand how you guys view privacy and the importance of privacy, and why someone would want to use something like this. Can you talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, 100%. So I guess essentially, if we start by just comparing it to our current real world, from our existing sort of system, everyday users are kind of automatically granted a certain level of privacy, especially between peers. Like, you can make a payment to anyone, any friend, any real world store that you might visit, and they can't peer into your bank account. They can't see your entire financial history. So on the blockchain, as we all know, it's pretty much 100% transparent and public, which some people take measures already to make sure that they're not leaving a huge trail of information. But most everyday users don't think so much about these things. So, and as you can imagine, we're on a brand new blockchain, so most people don't have more than a year of history. It's not such a huge concern to think of right now, but if we can imagine a couple of years down the track, or even if someone's been extremely active over this time and stored a lot of their net worth in Terra, on the Terra blockchain, then any transaction that you might have now, whether it is just, you know, paying a friend or buying gas or a coffee, any of these things can actually, you know, reveal your entire financial history to whoever you've paid it to.
That, you know, just to interject there, it's something that I think you said to me on one of our first conversations, and you were like, imagine if you bought a coffee and then the guy who sold you the coffee could see your entire financial history for your whole life. And that, exactly. Really, when you start thinking about it like that, this becomes very necessary.
Yeah, we were brainstorming sort of other real world ideas that, like, you know, given the idea that we are going to be, you know, all transacting every day in UST and on the blockchain, things like even putting in an offer for a house or a car or these kind of big real world purchases, you automatically revealing exactly how much you could go to pay for something like that, which is far from ideal.
Totally. So I think that makes it very clear why something like this would exist. It's essentially a way to kind of disconnect your carrying around cash from your bank account. You know, like, you, the money, yeah, in your wallet is not necessarily linked to your savings account, your credit card, or your check account, or whatever else.
Yeah, exactly. We sort of see it like as a way that users can create a hot wallet for everyday transactions. And in doing so, whoever you're dealing with in the everyday won't be able to automatically find your entire history.
And then you simply top that hot wallet up whenever you need to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point to jump into my next question. And really, you'll see, I'm just basically going through the Void site from top to bottom. If you're listening to this and you want to get into it yourself, it's a really, really great site with a very cool visual at the top. And it's worth going and having a look through because it explains everything excellently. But there's a point in the site where it talks about the four steps. Can you walk us through those four steps nice and easy? And the steps I'm referring to are deposit, mix, withdraw, and earn. I think you may have touched on this already, but I'd like to just go back to it again because there's the earn aspect, and then there's a question I want to ask about a point that comes after this.
Yeah, of course. So deposit is quite simple. As I said, everyone has, or every deposit will be a set transaction amount. The main reason we've gone for that is just because without a set transaction amount, even without a huge string of decimal points on the end of your deposit, a number like 669 is, it's going to stand out on the withdraw side as well. I don't imagine there's a lot of people with such specific numbers. So that in itself can act as like an identifying feature. So we have set deposit sizes. The user receives a secret phrase, and that's all the deposit is really. The next step is the mix. So that is essentially a period of waiting. The length on how long it would need to the user would need to wait is dependent on the TVL for the smart contract. So if there is, a whole ton of deposits going in and out every day, the time needed to wait will be dramatically reduced. And during this time, we've kind of gone back and forth on whether it's three steps or four steps, because mix and earn, they're kind of the same step. And then whilst the user waits, one of our sort of key drives is to reduce opportunity cost. Especially when you are dealing with UST, we don't really want users to be at a disadvantage compared to the general market just for waiting for their funds to anonymize. So during this step, we implement different yield-bearing strategies. UST is nice and simple. It's anchor earn. For other pools like Luna, that will still be determined by the DAO on how that's going to be fully implemented. And then once the user has gone through the mix and earn phase, waited for a sufficient amount of deposits and withdrawals after their deposit, and they feel comfortable that, the funds aren't going to be easily traced on the other side, then the user can withdraw just by providing the secret phrase and nominating a wallet for that to go to. We always suggest it's best that the user uses a brand new wallet for that point. There's virtually no reason not to.
Okay, so that sounds ridiculously straightforward and easy, which is always a good sign.
100%. Yeah, part of what we try to focus on is just the simplicity. Like a lot of people already previously have used platforms like this. So essentially keeping it as simple as it can be. Of course, there is the time in which the user must wait. It might be a couple of weeks, but with good TVL, we might be able to bring that right down. And yeah, that's probably the most complicated part about it, unless we start talking about the back end.
No, let's keep it light and frothy here. there's also, I think, a comment somewhere about the ability to slowly draw funds out. And I think you mentioned that you would want to draw them out in the same denominations. Would you also then advise users to kind of have a steady inflow? So you kind of almost like you're continually depositing, say, like $10 or $100 into Void, and then constantly being able to have access to that money.
Yeah. So, in regards to like a slow deposits, they would be kind of confined to the set amounts. In regards to withdraw, it won't be available when we first launch, but we are looking at making it possible so that users can slowly withdraw out of their deposit. So essentially get to a point even one day where users might be able to transact out of it. There are sort of extra things that the user would need to take care of. Like, for example, just real quickly, if someone's got a $1,000 deposit and they've withdrawn $990 at once, it's easy to know that the last $10 that's going to come out will belong to the same wallet that withdrew that. But all that's doing is essentially connecting the two wallets on the other end. It doesn't connect back to the original depositing wallet, but there is some precautions that could be taken if the user's trying to achieve full anonymity with these kind of transactions.
Okay. I mean, you've already, like, my next question was walking through a practical example of someone using this, but I think that that's pretty much done. I guess the other thing that immediately comes to mind when you talk through the process is that you can also then, I guess, hand over the phrase to someone else, and then they can access that money if needs be, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Some people might consider that a way of further, like, I guess, breaking the chain and kind of mixing it up. But I guess that's up to everyone's risk appetite. It could potentially be, you know, nefarious when you're handing over secret phrases to other people. So,
and I guess that's the common kind of topic when it comes to privacy, right? It's the idea that, like, why do you want to be private? And you must be doing something wrong or illegal if you want to be private. Whereas it's almost that it's the other way around, right? It's like some people would prefer to be private first and then move towards transparency rather than just assume you're up to no good.
I guess we always come back to this one. Especially, I don't know, with the old school principles of Web 2 and all the things that have sort of come up. There's so many different times that there's been attacks on privacy within the internet. So, like, we say it all the time, and I think a lot of people probably agree by now that, you know, privacy doesn't mean that you're necessarily a criminal. Yes, it might mean that you have things to hide, but we've tried to highlight a few times that everybody has things to hide in everyday life all the time, you know. Otherwise, you know, why would we have passwords? Why would we have private email accounts? Why can we not see into everyone's bank account, you know? We all just are always looking for some level of privacy, and we prefer that, you know, that it's a choice in what privacy you have and who you share that information with. So just offering an option for people at least to opt out of the full public system and take control of some of their own privacy.
I think that it's almost like you don't need to make an argument for it. You know, I don't want to have my casual spending linked to my entire financial history and savings and investments. I don't think that
exactly.
I need to justify that.
Yeah, and definitely not. And someone even pointed out the other day in our Discord, like, even NFTs, you know, if you were to share, you know, some of your balances or make a transaction with a friend or someone you know in the real world, and they quickly just punch in your address into Luard or Random Earth, like, instantly they're seeing, you know, how many hundreds or tens of thousands of dollars you've dropped on JPEGs.
Or the ridiculous things that you think are cool.
Exactly. They get an insight to all the things that you've decided to spend your money on.
Yeah, it's a little too transparent. Okay, so we're a launchpad. You're launching with us. We need to talk a bit about the Void token. Where does the Void token fit into this picture?
Of course. There's a few reasons for the Void token. I guess one big one is to help incentivize use of the platform. But I guess in our minds, the main focus of the Void token is the governance. We do fully intend to be a fully decentralized platform, which will be in the hands of the DAO. They'll be able to vote on essentially every parameter on the platform, as well as things like the earning strategies that are being implemented as well. So that would always the primary focus of the Void token was to partake in governance. But of course, we know that that's not enough these days. The token itself does need some utility. And we've spent a while ironing it out. And honestly, I feel like we could still find more utility for the Void token. So we are always looking for more options. But for now, the utility of the Void token by staking it, you can avoid fees on the platform by staking a flat 10,000 Void tokens. And in doing so, once staked, those Void tokens will earn a percentage of the yield that the smart contracts or the pools, the Void anonymity pools, are earning. And they'll also earn any of the protocol fees that are being paid by those who are not staking the Void.
It almost seems like decentralization and privacy kind of go hand in hand, right? Because you want the people who are making the decisions to be fully invested in the point of the protocol. And I think the other side is like when the token holders are the ones deciding on the utility, they're motivated to find better and better uses for it.
100%. I'm a firm believer of the hive mind, and I think we're starting to see that emerge with governance. I know at times it's been ineffective for other platforms, but we can truly see that, you know, I can imagine that the thousands or 10,000 people in governance will be able to put a more precise number on some of the parameters than, you know, just our six people in the Void team can.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. It's that aligned incentive, right? Are you happy to take questions as they come up, or would you prefer to wait to the end?
Yeah, I'm not so fussed. We can go in whatever order.
All right. Well, I see we have one coming up. Teague, I'm going to give you power to speak here. Add a speaker. All righty. There you are. You got the floor.
Hey, guys. Thanks for setting up the same up. Like what you guys are doing at Void. I had two questions. I think one's been answered about the depositing into the pools and the anonymity is how long you got to leave it for. Obviously, you're saying that depends on the TVL, which, okay, that makes sense. The second is that I get why you're saying that you've set limits, you know, for 1K, 10K, 100K, you know, to kind of anonymize it even more because you would pick out random transactions at, say, 669. Have you guys considered dropping that as well to, say, like 100 UST? Just because I know there are a lot of people, you know, globally that, you know, 1,000 UST to drop into a pool would be quite a bit at one time and might want to do it in, you know, batches of 100.
Yeah, 100%. We actually got that feedback early on with the community that it would be best to also include 100 UST as a deposit. So we're looking, I believe at this stage, looking at launching with the four pools.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's probably the best way. The Luna side does need attention as well. Obviously, with Luna fluctuating and going on these runs since we announced our idea, you know, even 100 Luna can be quite a lot of a deposit.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, it's good. It's good that you're listening and you are looking at it. I think there's a lot of members across the globe that would probably appreciate it being dropped a bit. But would understand keeping it at certain levels, like 100, you know, and so on. Thanks for that. And
yeah, of course.
Looking forward to what you guys come up with.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. I guess that's another part that will be heavily monitored by the DAO in the future as well. It'll sort of come down to how popular the pools are, what's the community demand for extra pools. I mean, we're launching with Luna and UST. Initially, but we're not ruling out all the other tokens on Luna that can also be included. But one thing we don't want to go ahead and do is just put a bunch of tokens on there with, you know, zero TVL in each of the pools, which pretty much renders them useless. So community interest and demand will really drive what's added. And then everything past that will be voted upon by the DAO.
That makes complete sense. And I think adding the 100 USD to the four launching would be brilliant.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Thanks for taking my questions.
No worries.
No problem. Okay. Teague is gone, and we've got a new request here from Priscillanen. Probably butchered that.
Okay. Can I ask?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so thanks so much for the talk. Just a quick question. I'm not quite sure exactly. Well, let me ask the main question first and then a secondary question after that. Suppose I'm an idiot and I didn't write down my secret phrase, right? Just as an example. So I've put a bunch of UST in the pool, and is it right to say that it's forever lost now to me? There's nothing I can do to ever pull it out, right? But it would be...
So, yep. Mm-hmm. So we will have the opportunity for when you're sort of connected with a certain wallet, the depositing wallet, there'll be the option to see your phrase again. But we're going to make this optional. So people who are really concerned, a little bit worried about, you know, maybe somebody having access to a computer or monitoring these things, then we can turn that off and make it just a one-time phrase. In which case, yeah, it would be a challenge for you to get it back out. But by default, so it will be...
The phrases are held in memory or somewhere on a server, essentially, and it's associated with someone's wallet address.
Yeah, so essentially you would see your secret phrase or the hash of, and that would be provided to the pool essentially using zero knowledge. So you only have to provide the hash. You don't have to provide your full secret, but that's enough to verify the deposit.
Right. Okay, but so the option to not have the phrase associated with my wallet address is a one-time thing. So suppose I was overconfident and I clicked that I didn't want that. Then I forgot my phrase or something. I got hit on the head or something. And then I got hit on the head after I had deposited my money, then I can't get it out. Is that right?
Essentially, yes. We would also have it where on the one time you can download, I guess, the phrase onto your own computer. Mm-hmm. But this will be all up to the user. And yeah, at a certain point, the user will have to have enough autonomy to be able to look after these things. Essentially, it's the same with like a wallet on the network. You know, if you lose all your phrases and you haven't got it backed up anywhere, there's not a lot that can be done at that point.
Yeah, so Mike, the reason I'm asking this is not because I'm worried that I'm going to get hit on the head or whatever, right? But of course, you have all this money that in principle is locked forever in the vault or the pool or whatever, and it's earning anchor yield. And I wonder, it would be a shame if that yield is just going to sit there forever and not be utilized somehow by the protocol. Now, I understand that probably there's nothing you can do, but that would be a shame. I don't know.
Yeah. Given our reward system that we're looking to implement shortly after launch, it will essentially be an anonymity point system. We're going to call them like void points, and that will be associated with the depositing address. So essentially, you can earn the reward points from multiple deposits at once. So essentially, if it was lost forever, you would still earn the reward points over time and be able to siphon off your yield. You've just kind of locked yourself in a forever yield-bearing asset.
Right. But that money would just be contributing to the TVL of the pool, and some of that would be skimmed off and distributed to people in these rewards. Is that right?
Yeah, so a percentage of it would go to the governance stakers. The rest of the rewards would be yours to claim via reward points. But I guess, yeah, it would always forever contribute to the TVL of Void. So there are some benefits there for everyone else, maybe.
Sure. Okay, that's interesting. So that leads into my second question, which is what exactly happens with the AUST? I mean, I deposit UST into the pool. Is it clear exactly what the steps are there? Can you walk through that? So that
On deposit, it automatically will be deposited into Anchor for you. And then on withdrawal, it automatically goes the other way. So there won't be any steps required for the user in between.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, cool. Thanks.
No worries. Thanks for jumping up.
All right. I wonder how many people are going to be losing phrases and having money circulating forevermore in the void.
Boosted TVL.
Yeah, just sitting there forever, their contribution to the, you know, the ecosystem. Thank you in advance for those of you who get hit in the head with your phrases. I think the only other thing I wanted to touch on was, before we get into a couple of the final details, is the roadmap. So, I mean, you guys are building something that's fairly complicated, and complicated things sometimes have problems that pop up that weren't anticipated. How is the roadmap going? Are you guys on track, off track, new track? How's it looking?
So I guess we've laid a new track a couple of times already, but we're well and truly on track, depending on, I guess, the last couple of modules we have to complete and then how long the auditing process takes. So right now we have our lead dev working on the ZK integration into the deposits and the withdrawals. Our other backend developer is working on finalizing out the airdrop, and then our front end is still working on things like mobile responsiveness, and then the Terra mobile wallet connectivity and some other wallet connectivities as well, which is only going to last about probably till Monday, and then if all is well there, we're going to be pushing forward with the back-end and front-end integration. But during that time, all our contracts will be complete for the sort of base MVP platform. And that's when we'll be submitting our full audit to be done. So far, we've only done the audit on our zero knowledge aspect for that. Just because we wanted to make sure, obviously, we see it as a really sort of key component to the platform in securing deposits and withdrawals and allowing it to be secure and decentralized. So we went ahead and got that audited independently, just so we can feel confident that, you know, the key component to our platform that we're building on is correct. And then we'll get our full audit done, which will be an exciting process. And of course, that's going to be our last kind of milestone before going live on the mainnet and hosting our TGE.
So I'm looking at the roadmap now on the Void site, voidprotocol.io, and it's got live on testnets for March. And will that be something that people can get a hold of and play around with if they want to, or do they have to wait for the real deal?
Yeah, so we will be inviting initially a lot of our close community in the Discord, like our Void dwellers, to come on and jump on the testnet. We were really hoping to have it live in March, but as I said, you know, we're the next step in front of us after the ZK integration to withdrawals and deposits is the backend front-end integration. So without that, we can't go live on the testnet because our already built web app doesn't talk to all the correct components that it needs to just yet. So that will be an April thing instead of a March thing. So yeah, we're still laying new roads in front of us as we're going.
And I think that's actually... I mean, you guys haven't rushed this, you know, like you've been really consistent with how you've been very cautious and very thorough in each step. And as you said, it's really important that the key components are rock solid and do what they're supposed to do, you know, so it does what 100%. It says in the box. And I think that's more important than rushing forward with something that in a situation like what you're building with privacy doesn't accidentally, you know, do what it's not.
That's it. And the way we are looking to launch, like we're kind of expecting and hoping to have quite a high TVL off the gates. So in doing that, we need to make sure that everything's sort of load tested and ready for scale as well. So we're not leaving anything out like the ZK before launching. Our rewards, we were hoping to initially launch with the rewards fully active, but as we're adopting an anonymity point system, there is extra groundwork that needs to be laid to allow for that. So, we could have, you know, either delayed to allow for that or tried to send some kind of, I guess, more frivolous reward system where everything's just stored in the front end or on like a centralized server. But we've just opted that we have to do it right. So the rewards will come a month or two after the actual platform goes live. There will be lots of rewards for the other things like governance and for the LP staking and all these little things. But in regards to the rewards that users earn in the Void anonymity pools, using the reward point system, that would be slightly after launch. That's for the reason of making sure that we are doing everything in the right way that we can do it and not sort of trying to cut corners just to get the platform out.
Yeah, totally. It's not the sort of thing where you can cut corners. So we've got your proposal voting starting on the 18th of April, and then if it passes governance, your funding starting, I believe, 3rd of May, and then your TGE is in May but hasn't been locked down, with the final product being fairly close to your TGE. I believe that's our plan still, right? We want to get that as close as possible. Yeah,
100%. We're not looking to do our raise, you know, and then wait a month or months and just have a token floating out there on the blockchain with very little purpose. So our main goal is to launch as soon after the sale as we can. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, putting all these dates on it and seeing the dates tick by and get closer and closer, but we're all working really hard. All the developers are working overtime at this stage, which I never wanted to be the one who gets the developers working overtime towards the platform launch. But you know, we all share in the vision, and they're really happy to be doing so just to get it done. I've been sort of amazed and really sort of in awe at our developers' sort of attention to the project. They can all sort of feel and see the potential that we see as well, which is really great.
Nothing focuses the mind quite like the sound of a pending deadline, hey?
100%.
Right. So voting 18th of April, funding 3rd of May, May TGE. I think you mentioned, and we've seen this question a few times in our community. You mentioned airdrops.
Yeah.
Do you wanna go down that rabbit hole a bit now?
Sure, let's dive into it. So, with the airdrops, I guess it was kind of a point on everyone's mind is the fact that we do have a large Genesis airdrop, which is 15% of the Void tokens. And of course, as a lot of people point out, especially in the Atlo community, a lot of users of the Atlo platform, they want to make sure the protocols that are coming to launch, you know, meet the criteria and they're going to be a good sell on the platform. So we are aware that there's like going to be some kind of selling pressure on the tail end of the airdrop. So we've opted for a gamified airdrop. So essentially the way that's going to work is every user will will calculate every user's owed airdrop based on the avenues that we have selected. And then we will calculate how much is owed for that user. And then a third of that will be available on TGE straight up for the user to claim. But then the other two-thirds will be broken up into three additional parts. Now, each one of those parts will require the user to interact with the platform and store capital, contributing to the TVL of Void in for 31 days. So the user provides their capital into the Void anonymity pools, essentially uses the platform as it was intended to be used. After waiting 31 days, that user will then be able to claim their next portion of the airdrop. And that step is just repeatable two more times after that, so three times in total. In that sense, only a third of the airdrop will be on the open market at TGE. The rest of it, users will need to actually utilize our platform, which will really help contribute to TVL in the early days, which will ideally mean users can use the platform as it's intended from day one.
So it's an airdrop in name and but not necessarily in the way it arrives in your wallet. You've got to actually use the protocol to earn your airdrop.
Yeah, essentially, like the, I guess like 5% of total Void tokens are your traditional stock standard airdrop to all. Whereas the other 10% of those owed tokens will require use. We imagine that not every user is going to jump in and do it straight away, let alone maybe even do it at all. So we imagine there will be some unclaimed portions of the airdrop, which we haven't set a date or time on when that will be sort of dealt with. That'll be something that the DAO will have to consider in the future, what to be done with those tokens. But yeah, it's just a way to essentially bootstrap TVL within the Void anonymity pools and, of course, you know, reduce everyone's concerns with the downward pressure that such a large airdrop can put on the market.
I think it's a great way to do it. All right, well, I think that we've covered pretty much everything we need to. We're about 45 minutes into this. And if there are any other questions from the listeners, we can hear them now and put you on speaker. If there aren't, I think we can wrap things up. Anyone got anything they want to say? Oh, Teague's back. Go for it, Teague.
Just one last question there is, I just wonder what drew you towards Atlo and the community that's been building here, just from our point of view, what's the draw card for you guys?
Yeah, great question. So I think there was a lot of similarities in our community early on. Like I pretty much heard of Atlo from the very inception of Atlo, just from our community crossover. Everyone was kind of keen for us to give Atlo good insight and good thought and really sort of consider them as a platform. And I guess in our search for a launch pad, there's so many options for us to choose from. But one thing that we really wanted to focus on was like a fair chance for the general public to get involved. And I guess that's something that a lot of the other platforms kind of lacked a little bit in some ways. I mean, you can argue that the lottery systems that some of them offer are fair, but they do leave a lot of the, I guess, the littler fish in the pond missing out on having allocations or only securing such a small allocation. So we're really big fans of like the Atlo model in which you build up your Atlo rating and then get allocations prescribed based off that. I think it's a really innovative way to take this approach, and it really does allow for, I guess, almost as many users as want to take part on the Atlo platform to actually take part in the portion we provided there. So that's essentially why we've opted to have the larger portion of our public raise on the Atlo platform. We have still opted for other platforms because they do still have benefits like Pylon, the lossless pools. They offer sort of almost like a essentially risk-free on your capital way to get involved. And then Thor Starter as well, which is sort of the more traditional lottery-based system. But essentially, those two platforms as well don't require KYC from the user, whereas Atlo does. So we've essentially tried to cover all bases to allow as many interested community members to take part, depending on what their, I guess, their risk appetite is when it comes to KYC, whether they're interested in taking part in the Atlo system or they'd prefer to just put their UST into a lossless pool, or whether they're more happy with the sort of lottery-based launch pads as well.
Thank you very much. I couldn't ask for a more honest and better answer than that. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, thanks, T. Anyone else have a question for the Void team, or can we roll this up? I think we're good. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us on the space. We'll be, we've recorded everything, so we'll be posting this up and sharing it if anyone wants to learn more about Void and the pending proposal. The guys are really active in Discord as well as in our Discord and in our Telegram. So if you have any other questions, I recommend going and checking out their site and then getting online and chatting to them. They're very helpful and informative. And we have their proposal coming up on the 18th of April. If you want to be voting on that, you need to start building your Atlo rating quickly because time does creep up on us. Anything you want to add in before we sign off here?
I guess I'll just touch on the airdrops again real quickly. We do have multiple avenues for that airdrop that I mentioned previously. We have Lunar Stakers, Mind Stakers, and Anchor Stakers. It's all just for the single asset staking pools, as well as the Galactic Punk Stakers, which has been thrown in as a bit of a wild card. It's a smaller amount, which is really great to sort of utilize their new Galactic Punk staking system. But as a lot of users have pointed out in the Atlo Telegram and Discords, there is still one more avenue which we're looking to announce, in which case we are going to do a bit more of a write-up and an announcement later on today. But I think we could probably share a little bit of alpha around that.
you go for it.
I'm gonna do it. So as a lot of people have sort of jumped to conclusions, some maybe got it right, some maybe got it wrong, we are looking to share that with Atlo Stakers, that last avenue. So really it's just to sort of get it out there more, again, boost TVL, get it in the hands of more active users. We feel Atlo users are a great user base to approach because automatically everybody has an interest in new upcoming projects on Terra. Essentially, it's just another way to sort of show how happy and how satisfied we are with the Atlo approach and the Atlo platform and give back a little bit to Atlo Stakers.
All right. Well, I got nothing else to add after that. So those of you listening here, thanks for joining us. Everyone else, if you're listening on the recording, thanks for taking the time to listen and do your own research on Void. Their proposal's coming up soon. We're really excited to have them on Atlo. It's been a great pleasure working with the guys. And enjoy your morning. And if it's evening, enjoy your evening. And ciao.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for hosting us on this AMA. And thanks for giving Void the space on Atlo to put up a proposal. As I said earlier, we love the Atlo approach. And the Atlo community has been, extremely sort of switched on and attentive, asking questions, wants to know everything, which is what we encourage, there's nothing wrong with that because, we're about transparency. So the more questions, the better. We just want to be able to sort of answer everything. Maybe there's a question that, we haven't thought of properly and that's actually a great thing, because we want to make sure, you know, we've thought of everything that can come out from every sort of angle.
Yeah, it's our unofficial tagline. We have questions.
100% can confirm.
All right. Well, this has been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll chat soon everywhere. Cheers,
lovely.
Guys. Cheers,
guys. Thanks so much, mate. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was The Void AMA, hosted by Atlo, recorded on Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best miles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain, up with the curse. It's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the wait was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.
Terra Spaces.